Good morning. Good to see you guys. How y'all doing today? Wonderful Sunday. Glad that y'all are here. If you're a guest, just want to say welcome. My name's Todd. I'm the pastor. And if you're dad, we want to give you a shout out. Any dads up in here? Come on, raise your hands. Give them a shout out. Happy Father's Day to you. I just want to say it's awesome and give you a wonderful gift. I advocated that we give you some really cool knives or maybe a gun or something real dadly, you know, but instead you got a book. It's what every dad wants. Honestly, it's a great book. It's sit down, super thin, very readable, and it speaks the truth that you have what it takes. And so I'm just very grateful that I had a dad that poured into my life. And so dads, each of you will get this on your way out, or you can go to the coffee station that's just for you, and you can pick up a copy of this book. If you're a single mom, or if you're just a mom and you want this as well, it's a great book. Pick it up. We love you guys. Thank you. And really, that's my heart as a pastor, is to see you connect with the purpose for which God made you. Which brings me right into the next thing that I want to talk about, because part of our DNA as a church is serving. And so as such, it is like with tremendous joy, I'm super pumped and excited about what we're going to be doing in our community as a church on July 13th. That's a Saturday. It is Serve Day 2019, and we're going to be partnering with churches all across the country, and specifically with our family of churches right here along I-10 corridor in South Louisiana. And I'm just saying right now, you want to be a part of this, because as a church, God has called us to. We love God. This is who we are. We love God. We love people, and we serve all. And so we're anticipating about 300 people from our church serving our community by doing projects in local schools, by cleaning up the local parks around here, and particularly in the heart of Lake Charles, and also working with people who have genuine needs. And that'll be, actually, those needs will be submitted through small groups. So I want you to plug in. I want you to be a part. You can sign up either on our app, on our website, and I promise you, you're going to be hearing more and more about this, because this is what we're about. It's an opportunity for us to show people the light and love of Jesus by getting out in our community and making an impact. Anybody excited? Come on, are y'all excited? Y'all got to serve with me. I love it. I love it. It's going to be a lot of fun, and that's just really who we are. And I'm excited to be a part of a life-giving church. And my heart today is that out of this series and out of this message, you realize that God is a God of life. And we're in the middle of a series on the Holy Spirit. And today, I'm painting with a broad brush. Really, this whole series, I'm painting with a broad brush, because speaking on the Holy Spirit is like saying, hey, can you preach a message or a message series about God? Well, what's the answer to that if you're a pastor? Well, yeah, of course you can. It's just such a big topic. And I'm going to be talking today. Well, we said this is what we're going to look at through this series, that God is a creator. That we saw last week as we studied scripture, we see God, the Holy Spirit of God in creation. And we said that the Holy Spirit is not a different God. It's not another God. It's not a separate God. The Holy Spirit is not a ghost. The Holy Spirit is the very Spirit of God. And in Genesis 1, at the foundation of creation, in the second verse of the whole Bible, we see the Holy Spirit there. And then we see the Spirit of God, we see God breathing into Adam, because we know that God is a creator, and the Holy Spirit is a creator. The second thing that we see is that the Holy Spirit is also a comforter. All through Scripture, we see the Spirit of God comes and speaks to the difficult situations that we find ourselves in, and the craziness of the world around us. And even though we don't get out of this life without difficulty and pain and trial and tribulation, we can know that through it, the Holy Spirit's with us. Yesterday, I was on a phone call with a really good friend, and he had just got back from a mission trip, and then he was telling me about another mission trip that he was going on later in the year to Egypt, and that it's not necessarily the safest trip, but it's a very powerful one. And the last year when they were there, they saw 120 people give their life to Christ. And this is in a culture where when you become a Christian, you are excommunicated from your family. It's as if you're dead to your family. Out of those 120, 40 young men felt like they were called to full-time ministry as either pastors or missionaries or evangelists. Isn't that awesome? And I was celebrating. I was like, man, that is amazing. He's like, yeah, but do you remember that video that ISIS shot on the beach right there in Egypt where they took 21 young men and they beheaded them. He said six of them were of those 40 that surrendered their life to Christ and called to missions. And I went, man, just like, whew. And then I was reminded about today's message about how the Holy Spirit is with us. He's a creator. He's a comforter. And that even in the difficult seasons of life where things are unexpected and bad things happen, he's still there with us. But today, we're talking about him as a caretaker, that he takes care of us, that the Holy Spirit guides us and leads us and shows us the way. So we're going to look primarily at actually everything we're looking at for the most part is what Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit. So in John 14, he talks about the Holy Spirit. We're going to read verses 15 through 17. Jesus says this. He says, if you love me, obey my commandments, and I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another advocate who will never leave you. He's the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. He talks about the Holy Spirit as an advocate who never leaves you, an advocate who leads you in all truth. But he starts that explanation of the Holy Spirit, that he's an advocate who never leaves you. He's one who advocates for you, who speaks on your behalf, who is with you. He'll never leave you. Then he says, it's the Holy Spirit. He leads you into all truth. And it's all predicated, it's all founded, though, on this one huge truth. In John chapter 14, verse 15, it's the first verse, and this is what it says. Y'all read it with me. Are you ready? If you love me, obey my commandments. This is so important for us in our understanding of the work of the Holy Spirit and who the Holy Spirit is, because the Holy Spirit is God. He's God. And we see Jesus saying, if you love me, obey my commandments. And here's what's most important in this sentence to me, and I think maybe for all of us. If you love me, obey my commandments. There's one little thing that's key and it's huge. And you know what it is? It's that comma right there. Because it's a dividing mark in how we live. And I think it's foundational for us understanding the work of God's Spirit, his Holy Spirit in our life. If you love me, obey my commandments. If you love me, obey my commandments. Where are you in relationship to that comma? Can I just tell you? I have watched so many Christians struggle in their walk with God because they live on the right side of that comma. If you obey, like if you love me, obey my commandments. But do you know what they hear? They hear Jesus saying, obey my commandments. Obey my commandments, obey my commandments. And they live a life that is constantly striving to walk in their own strength in obedience to Jesus's commandments. This is admirable, but unfortunately, it's also very foolish because the reality is that in our own strength, we cannot fulfill all of the commandments. In fact, all of the commandments were written. Go look at Romans 3:20. By the works of the law, no flesh is justified in his sight, but through the law comes the knowledge of sin. In other words, you can try to obey all of the commandments, but the reality is that you cannot. And if you live this statement, if you love me, obey my commandments, on this side of the comma, you're not walking by the Spirit of God in your life. You're walking by your own spirit, admirably trying to do the best that you can do. But inevitably, it ends in your failure because none of us are good enough to live in this place where we're constantly obeying his commandments. We don't have the strength. And when it's you trying to do your best so that you can be right before God in how you are living, it never ends up at the place where we need to end up. It ends up at the place of condemnation, where we feel like I've tried, I've done everything, God, and like you said this, and I tried it, and I did really good for a while, but then I just messed it up, and now I look at myself, and I can't do it, and I'm a failure, and you hate me. And we get so messed up because we're hearing the voice of the enemy that constantly speaks to us, you're not good enough. See, he tried to do it his way. His way doesn't work because you don't work, because you're pathetic and you're no good. It's the voice of condemnation because people live by their own spirit. Right here, obey my commandments. But when we live on the left side of this comma, if you love me, and our focus becomes, loving God, that we stand before him and say, Lord, here's my heart and it's wide open. I give you everything. My heart is yours. I want to be with you. I love you. I want to listen to you because I value what you say. I want to spend my time with you. And that our interaction with God is not transactional. In other words, I'm going to do this because you told me to do it and I feel like I have to do it. Our interaction with God is truly relational because we have a revelation of his love for us, that we can listen to the whisper of his spirit in our life. And because of his love for us, that we know that we are accepted before him because he loves us, because Jesus paid the price on the cross. He loves me. God, I love you. I want to be with you. When you are with him, when you are allowing him to speak to you, when you let him guide you, the commandments take care of themselves. Which is why when Jesus was asked by a religious teacher, hey, Jesus, what's the most important law? Jesus quoted Deuteronomy chapter 6, and he says, Hear, O Israel, he's quoting chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. He says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. And then he says, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And then he adds his own thing. He says, and love your neighbor as yourself. When Jesus was asked, what's the most important commandment? Guess what he said? Love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Because out of this is an understanding that God keeps us. Are y'all tracking with me? Okay. Look at verse 16, and I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another advocate who never leaves you. Isn't it good to know that the Holy Spirit won't leave us? Have you ever felt like God's left you? I have. You ever felt like God's not there, that your prayers bounce off the ceiling? Like, I'm praying, like, bang, bang, they come back and hit me on the top of the head. Anybody felt that? I felt that way. But this is what we have to know. He doesn't leave you. And then verse 17, it's the Holy Spirit, and guess what he does? He guides and leads us into all truth. So today, I want to look very 30,000-foot view at the work of the Holy Spirit in our life and what he empowers us to do. He's a caretaker, and he gives us the power to do. It's not the all-inclusive, but I think in these three areas, if we can just see the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, it can make a fundamental difference because we're living by his Spirit, following him and not trying to do it ourselves. Here's how the Holy Spirit empowers us. Number one, the Holy Spirit empowers us to know what we're called to know. In other words, I know what I need to know because God has shown me what I need to know. In John chapter 16, we see Jesus again, two chapters later, talking about the Holy Spirit. And he says this, and when he comes, talking about the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. What do we need to know? Three simple things we need to know. Like, if I'm empowered by the Holy Spirit, there's three simple things I can know. Number one, I can know the curse of sin. How can that be? Because when my heart is open and I love God and I say, God, here I am, he speaks to me and he convicts me of sin. What does that mean? That means he points out the ugly areas of disobedience, selfishness, and pride in my life. But he does it in such a way that I recognize while it's horrible, it's hideous, and it's ugly, conviction always brings me and draws me to the heart of God, while condemnation pushes me away and says, I'm not good enough. God has this amazing way, as an unbelievable father, to point out our sin, to show us our sin, but he does it in a way of convicting us that brings us to the place where we truly believe his truth, that we can walk in the righteousness that he has for us. The Holy Spirit speaks to us about the curse of sin, that when you sin, bad things happen, but that's not my plan for you. And we can know what we're called to know. We don't have to live in this. We can live in this. And he reminds us that there's a place of judgment. That place of judgment is the fear of the Lord. God, I want to remember. Sin brings death. but I follow you, I can live righteously. And I'm going to have to give an account for everything I've done and everything I've said. Does that scare you? It does me. Is that a bad thing? I've got four kids, and my heart as a father is for them to know in this, it's not pleasing to me because I know what it brings in the long run. But I always want them to be at the place of hope where they know that they can get to this. The work of the Holy Spirit in us, we can know the curse of sin. But that conviction always, it doesn't camp out here. It camps out here in righteousness. I hope y'all are following me. The Holy Spirit empowers us to know sin is death, but God's way brings life. This, the next thing that we can know, if the Holy Spirit empowers us to know, God, I know my sin, but I also know I can walk in righteousness. And then the Holy Spirit leads us in the truth of Jesus. In verse 13 of chapter 16, it says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. So the Holy Spirit empowers us to know sin is not God's purpose and plan. He has a better way. It's his righteousness. And then we can know the truth, that he'll guide you into all truth. That's why in John 14, 6, Jesus says this. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. It is the Holy Spirit that shows us our sin and then directs us to the truth that Jesus is the way. I need him. There have been many times where I've chosen my way. Come on, have y'all chosen your way before? How many of you can look back at the stupidity of your own life and like you've lived it? Like if there was an award for stupid, I would have got one. If there was an award for sin, I was going to get it. But the Holy Spirit shows us our sin and then shows us the truth. Jesus has a better way for us. I can walk in that way. That's conviction. Oh man, I see my sin. But I see you, Jesus. And I know I can live the life that you've called me to because I know you're for me. In verse B, that like 16, chapter 16, verse 13, 3, he says this. He says, the Holy Spirit will tell you about the future. What does that mean? It means that we can see our sin. We can see that Jesus is the way and that the way that he has for us is good. He'll tell us about the future. Now, let me just tell you, this isn't a tarot card reading. This isn't some sort of like somebody looking into a crystal ball, but that we can know the future that God has for us. If you're looking for a detailed plan and you're like, and here's the plan that God will give you when you follow the leading of his Spirit, and like, here it is, all of these bullet points, and here are the highlights. No, that's not how it works. You may not get the specifics, but you might get a fuzzy snapshot of a distant future that he has for you, and he'll speak it to you. For me, one of my life verses, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. They're not for calamity and destruction, but to give you a future and a hope. Because I can see the truth about sin. I can turn from it and follow the truth that Jesus knows me and loves me and he paid the price for my sin and that he has a purpose and a plan, listen to me, and a path for me. I want you to know that when you follow the very Spirit of God and you open your heart and say, God, I love you, you can know what you're called to know about who you are, about the consequences of sin, about the freedom in Jesus and the plan that he has for you. I want you to know that. You can know the future that God has for you. It may not be detailed, it may not be specific, but you can know the truth as you read the Bible cover to cover, as you seek God with all of your heart. You can know this, God is good. And his plans are too. The second thing, Holy Spirit first empowers us to know what we need to know. Then he empowers us to be what we're called to be. We can be what we're called to be. And I want you to understand how powerful that is because the enemy messes with our mind to keep us in the place where we're unsure of who we are, that knowledge thing, so that he can affect how we're living and how we're being. I've told this story before, but it's really powerful. This happened years and years ago in our old sanctuary, which is now the multi-purpose room. We had one service at the time, and it wasn't a lot of people. And I remember preaching a service, and at the end of it, you know, we had people coming up for prayer, and we had this one young girl that came up. She was probably early teenager. She came up, and she was obviously emotional, and I said, "What can I pray for you about?" And I don't remember what she said, and I just began to pray for her. She wasn't very specific. I remember that. And as I'm praying for her, I see this picture in my brain of this really cute, probably 3 or 4 year old little girl in a yellow dress sitting in a field of yellow flowers. It was just super precious and wonderful. And I felt like the Lord told me, and this wasn't my normal MO, but like felt like the Lord told me, tell her that's how I see her. And I'm praying for her, and this thing's in my brain, and I kind of feel like the Lord's talking to me the whole time. I'm like praying out loud for the girl. It's kind of awkward, but in a good way. And I ended up telling her, I really feel like the Lord sees you as this precious little girl in a yellow dress sitting in a field of yellow flowers. And like she started sobbing. And I'm like, I don't even know what that means, but it must be good. Done. Walked away. You know, I'm like, great service. Yeah, it was awesome. And the next week when she comes to church, it's like she makes a beeline for me. And in her hand, she just walks up to me and she has a picture in her hand, and it's a picture of a little girl in a yellow dress sitting in a field of yellow flowers, and she says, this is a picture of me, and it's the only time that I ever thought that I was pretty. How did that happen? Because the Holy Spirit lets us know what we need to know. He empowers us to know that so that we can be what we're called to be. In Galatians 5, we see Paul, the Apostle Paul, and St. Paul writes in Galatians 5, 16, he says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what the sinful nature craves. The Holy Spirit becomes a guide who takes care of us and shows us the way so that we can be what we're called to be. And the reality is that we don't want to do what we want to do. Isn't that true? How many of you have a sinful nature that craves some things? I'm the only one. I got a silly example, but it's indicative of how the enemy operates in a bigger sense, though it is a silly example. Baby, how many times this week have I said, I want Bluebell ice cream? A lot, at least 10 times, isn't that true, boy? Like I want some Bluebell ice cream, and I love Bluebell ice cream. It's like manna from heaven, and either that or like Ben and Jerry's Cherry Garcia. Whew, man, I love some ice cream, and like in my brain, because I saw it at Dollar General. Listen, when you live out in the country, like Dollar General is like a mecca. It is amazing. It's like this store is a bountiful cornucopia of fantastic goods, and they had one tub. This was like 2 weeks ago. One tub of cherry vanilla Bluebell that I've never had, and it's bright red with the little thing, the gold thing around. I'm like, I want that ice cream. I'm trying to get in really good shape and take care of myself. I don't need to be eating the ice cream, but I love the ice cream. And the problem is, it's not like I can do like my wife, who's very disciplined, who can like, I shall have one scoop of ice cream once a week. I'm like, I'm gonna have one tub of ice cream once a day because I don't get a bowl. I don't need a bowl. They give you a bowl. It's a half gallon bowl. That's what it's for. What's the point? Either we can allow the Holy Spirit to guide our lives, or we can take control ourselves. But when you take control yourself of your life and you leading your way, this is the sinful nature. Look at verse 17. It says, the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. Look, isn't this just so true? Like, we know what was the right thing to do, but we like fight against ourselves because of what we want. This is why this next scripture in this highlight was like jumped out of the page at me. And I'm like, what? This is awesome and amazing. And the Spirit, y'all say this with me, you ready? The Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. Wait, time out. Wait, hold on. You're telling me that when I live on the left side of the comma, and I open my heart to the love of God, and I listen to his whisper, and he tells me what I need to know about who he is and about who I am. Even though I'm still gonna have to fight those desires, he begins to change my heart and gives us desires that are the, I want that, I want that, I want that. And I want that for you, because the reality is that Jesus even told us, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation. Listen to me, the Holy Spirit is not the one who leads us into temptation, but he may put us in a place where the enemy decides to come and take advantage of our location. But if we're walking by his Spirit, our desire changes. That's how Jesus, Luke chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4, where he's in the desert. He's been fasting for 40 days, and the devil shows up to tempt him with bread. Do you think he was hungry? Heck yeah. Do you think he needed bread? Yes. But he had a purpose that was bigger, so his desire was to do what the Spirit showed him, because it was the Spirit who led him to that place, but he didn't lead him into temptation. He just happened to be in the location when the enemy showed up. I want that. I want that for you. I want that for all of us. I can be what he's called me to be because I know who he is and who I am. And these two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions. This is spiritual war. It's the war between the Spirit of God who speaks to believers, who speaks to us and says, This is what I want you to know about who you are, about who I am. This is what I'm calling you to be. And when we listen to that voice and we love him with all of our heart and we stop trying to do things in our own strength and we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us and live through us. Yeah, there's a battle, but look at the next verse. Look at verse 18. But when you're directed by the Spirit, you're not under obligation to the law of Moses. What does that mean? Because the laws, I still don't need to be having gods before me and murdering people and covet. I don't need. But what does it mean that I'm not under obligation? Have you ever had somebody put something on you? You ever had a boss that's like, hey, I need you to do this, and you got to go here, and you got to talk to this person, and you're like, oh, I have to do all of it, and you didn't want to do any of it. I don't want to do it. None of my staff allowed to say a thing. Like, I've got all of these obligations that I have to do. What is he saying? When you're directed by the Spirit, you're not under obligation. That means I feel like I have to do it. I have this obligation. He's saying that it doesn't nullify the law. It says it's the difference between obligation and desire. Remember what he said? He changes our desires so that we're not. Can we put up John 14, 15 again real quickly? John 14, 15. We're not living over here. We're not over on that side. Obey my commandments. That's obligation. But if you love him, it's your desire. When you're led by the Holy Spirit, it's a desire and a joy, not a weight and an obligation. Does this make sense to you guys? He empowers us to know what we're called to know, to be what we're called to be. And here's the third and final thing as we wrap up. He's called us to do. He empowers us to do what we're called to do. The resurrected Jesus, before he ascends into heaven, it's the last thing that he says, and he says to his disciples who are gathered around him, and he says this, and then he literally floats up into heaven. It's kind of wild and awesome. He says in Matthew 28:19, therefore, go, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 20, he continues on and says, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Here's what we have to get, is that we're empowered by the Holy Spirit to know who God truly is, to know who we are, so that we can trust his voice that defines us, that speaks to us, so you can be what you're called to be. So that you can do what you're called to do, which is to go. To go, but by the leading of the Holy Spirit, not because you think it's a good idea and in your own strength. Just remember, can we put that verse 19 up, 28:18, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That God wants to do something. Look at this. Here's the three things. Can we put those three things? He wants to do something in you. You can know what you need to know. Holy Spirit lets us know who he is. Why? So that the second thing, so that we can be what he's called us to be. Why? Because he's called us to go and to make disciples. But this is what I've observed, just observational. So many people do this so backwards. They just do it backwards and well-intentioned, but it's living on the wrong side of the comma. They're like, you know what? I do love God. They have a knowledge, like a head knowledge of who Jesus is and who God is, and they want to please him, but they're living in their own mind rather than with an open heart. And the outpouring of that in their own, the outplaying of that in their life is that we do it backwards. We're like, you know what? Yeah, I see God and I see my own shortcomings, so I'm gonna do what I need to do so that maybe if I do it long enough, I can be what I'm called to be. And then maybe if I study the Bible and I read it enough, like maybe I can know what I need to know. But it's so, so backwards. And the reality is that we see people, some people will just pick one and they'll be like, you know what? I'm gonna read the Bible backwards and forwards, and I know more theology than you could ever know. And I can discourse on systematic theology, dispensational theology, covenant theology, and I know everything there is to know in the Greek and in the Hebrew, both in the Old and the New Testament. But their lives are dead because all they do is have a head knowledge and not a heart knowledge, forgetting that God is spirit and so are we in our essence. And that's where the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Or they'll be like, I'm gonna be the best that I can be. I'm gonna be, but they do it in their own strength and they're over here trying to live on the right side of the comma, obeying everything, being what they think that they're called to be, but they miss it. Or they go to the last thing and I'm just gonna do, and then I'm a missional Christian. Everything I do is for missions and for other people, but they're still on the wrong side of the comma because they're trying to live a life where they're so active outwardly in their faith that they don't realize they're missing it inwardly. What are we called to do? The reality is, just as God is one, he said it, the Father and the Son. God says it in Deuteronomy 6:4 when Jesus asked the greatest commandment. He says it as well. The Lord our God is one. And yet we see in creation in Genesis 1:2, we see the Spirit of God. In Genesis 2, God says, let us. And so we see the Father is one God. We see the I don't know what you call them. We see the express God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's one God. And then we see us, body, soul, spirit, but we're one. And then we look at this. We're called to know, to be, and to do. They are three separates, but they're just one. And that one is wrapped up in what Jesus said when asked, what's the most important thing, Jesus? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Body, soul, spirit, all three wrapped up into one person. With everything you have, you love him, recognizing he'll guide you, he'll lead you, he'll speak to you about who he is and who you are. He'll show you what he's called you to be, what he's called you to do. It's all wrapped up in us having a heart to be led by his spirit. Big broad brush. Every area of our life reflecting him. Maybe you're here and you know that this message is for you, that you've like maybe you've been trying to do it in a head knowledge. I got to learn more about him. That's admirable and that's good, but don't neglect the spiritual life that comes only through our interaction by opening our heart and loving him with everything we have. I've been trying to be and like be the best person that I can be and think good thoughts and journal. Like, those are great things, but let me just remind you that it's our heart and everything that we have, every area of us living for him. Maybe you've been living missional, like I'm going on mission trips, like I'm praying for homeless people and help. All of these are good things. But opening our heart and say, God, I love you. Lead me by your spirit. You can bow your heads. Maybe you're here and that's you. Maybe you've been doing really good and you've been being really good and you've been knowing more, but you still feel like there's a void. Today, the Holy Spirit's speaking to you and just says, just live in my love. Open your heart. Doesn't mean you stop learning more about him or stop being what you're called to be, like that being important, righteousness. Doesn't mean that you stop living missionally. It means that you refocus everything through the lens of the left side of the comma. And maybe you're here and you've been a lot of you, but you really realize this morning you need more God's spirit. I'm not gonna embarrass you, but if that's you, just raise your hand. Say, Pastor, this message was for me. Come on, raise them high. Father, I pray for those with their hands raised that you meet them right where they are. Lord, I just pray that they experience more of you, that as they open their heart to you, that you meet them. You can put your hands down, and maybe you're here and you feel like you don't really have a relationship with God at all. You wonder what it is that he wants of you. Jesus was asked by a teacher of religious law, came to him at night because he was kind of ashamed of what other people might think. And he asked Jesus, hey, Jesus, what do I need to do to like inherit eternal life? And Jesus looked at this old man who was a teacher of religious law and he said, man, you should know this. And you know, after kind of giving him a hard time, Jesus says, well, you'll have to be born again. And the old man says, how can I be born again? Like, can I go into a mother's womb a second time? And Jesus said, no, you don't understand. There's two births. There's birth by water, like a physical birth. Your mama's water breaks and you're born. And then there's a spiritual birth. And maybe you're here today and you need that spiritual birth. Maybe you realize there's just an empty dead spot in you that today you're realizing God's knocking on the door of that empty spot and he's saying, let me fill it. And that is a spiritual moment where you recognize you need spiritual life. How do you do that? How do you go from spiritual death to spiritual life? Really simple. You acknowledge your sin, your shortcomings. You believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for your sin. He died so you don't have to. He died so that you can be right with God, so that you can walk in the fullness of life. Remember, Jesus says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Just acknowledge your sin. Believe that Jesus knows you, loves you so much, he laid down his life for you. And then see, you just confess, Lord, I need you and my life is yours. Maybe you're here and today you need to come to spiritual life. I'm not gonna embarrass you, but I wanna pray with you right where you are. If that's you, just say, Pastor, I need to come to spiritual life today. Today, I need to surrender my life to Christ. If that's you, just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. Thank you, thank you, I see you, thank you. Thank you right here. Thank you over here, I see you. Well, let's all of us pray right now. Let's just pray together. Say, dear Jesus, I acknowledge my sin. I turn from it. I turn to you. I believe you died on the cross. You paid the price for my sin. You are now Lord of my life. My life is yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, can we celebrate what God's doing? We'll be out of here in about a minute, so don't pack up, don't step out just yet. If God did something in your life today, let me just encourage you to do this. Take a moment and fill out a connection card. They have them in the seat back in the front of you. Let us know what he's done. Where it says, I've decided, you can check it off. I've surrendered my life to Christ. I've rededicated my life to Christ. If you surrendered your life or rededicated your life to Christ, let me tell you what the next step is. Be baptized. So check number 3 as well. In fact, we're doing that today at 12:30. And you can either do that then, or you can sign up online or on our Connection Center. But if you have that card, fill that out. Drop it in the boxes by the doors on the way out, or bring it to the Connection Center. Or if you like, you can fill that out on our app, and we'll get it that way. Here's my heart, and our heart as a church, is to connect you with relationships that can help you grow and resources that can help you grow, which is why you see the crosses projected on the side walls, because our ministry team members are there waiting to pray with you. If God's doing something in you, or you're in a season where you know you need somebody to stand with you, that's why they're there. So don't walk out of here without praying with someone. Did y'all have a good time this morning? Good. Why don't y'all stand to your feet? I'm going to pray. We'll be dismissed. Man, I say it all the time, but it's so true. The best is yet to come. So I'm just going to say, fathers, don't forget your books. Everybody get plugged into a group, and 3, get ready to serve. So Father, thank you for your goodness. I pray that we can walk by your Spirit, that we can walk in your love, that we can receive it, that we can believe it, and that we can live in it. And I just pray just an empowering of your Spirit in us through this week. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Love you guys. You're dismissed. If you need prayer, you come. Have a great Sunday.